Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome again to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for those of you who know me, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host. I am a Messianic pastor, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, please understand that these Hebraic truths are designed to answer perplexing questions that you and I normally come up with or have on a daily basis. Most of these questions tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ. So at this time, I have the distinct honor, again, to introduce the other half of our co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to share with you all that it is truly a blessing to be able to share the Word of God, Yah. This is our 42nd show, and we will continue to answer the question about how to, concerning the brazen altar, enter into worship with Yah. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, and I will go ahead and start us off with prayer. Father, right now I just give you praise. I thank you. I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in us and with this show. Father, I just say hola to those in Brazil that are listening now. I thank you for how you're beginning to reach even though those there and any all over the world, Father.
Yes.
We humble ourselves before you. We ask forgiveness for sin or iniquity and transgression. And we choose right now to forgive those who have sinned against us and caused iniquity and transgression against us. We do thank you for protection over our loved ones and over all that you have given us authority over. We thank you for that protection right now. In the name of Yeshua, we invite the Ruach HaKodesh. We invite the Holy Spirit. We invite the Spiritus Santos to come and begin to hover over this broadcast. Take control and let us hear from you so that we can be made whole. Take control. Let us hear from you so that we can be made whole. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen.
Amen. And so, Rabbi, just to give a brief synopsis of the 42nd show so that we can continue to answer the question. Last week you were letting us know about wholeness, how we want to be whole. And you went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and you were letting us know that sanctification is our worship that we give to Yah. And, of course, worship is more than just singing a song. We want to obtain that relationship that Adam and Eve had in the garden and how Yah wants that relationship with us so that we, too, can experience the cool of the day. You were letting us know that the outer court is our responsibility and the inner court is Yah's responsibility, but how in that we must learn how to trust Yah, who deals with what we don't know about ourselves in the inner court, and the outer court is what we're conscious of that we need to get right with Yah. And you're letting us know that all of this is called worship. There is more about ourselves that we don't know, that Yah knows, that we begin to experience in the inner court. You went to Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and you compared that with First Kings, chapter 8, verse 5. And one of the key things that you were pointing out was that the sacrifice was 1,000 when it came to verse 6 in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, whereas in 1 Kings chapter 8, the number was unknown. And you were letting us know that we needed to protect our joy. Another point that you wanted us to understand was that the Holy Spirit would fuel the fire of the things that we want to obtain as we're laying things at the altar. Of course, the outer court is our spiritual exchange, but we must come first and give ourselves first to Him, and give the sin, and so that He can come inside of us. You also mentioned about the linen garment and how in Exodus 34 verses 1 through 4, Yah was telling Moses to come Himself. And then in verses 5 through 7, He dealt with the children of Israel. But, of course, intimacy always starts in the inner court. And what we should desire is only Yah, not something else when we're in that inner court. We shouldn't choose the fruit or His gift instead of Him. You also let us know the difference between the relationship with Solomon as well as David. Solomon didn't ask for the relationship. His was more asking for wisdom, which did not keep him. But David asked to be a doorkeeper in his house. And so David wanted that wholeness with Yah. And David was considered a man after Yah's own heart. And this was because he desired that relationship with Yah. You told us that you would continue to break down the outer court more and then the inner court next, but that we should want to enter completely in Him by searching our hearts, nothing that will hinder us from reaching the Holy of Holies in intimacy with Yah. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right, fantastic. That was an excellent synopsis. And so what I want to do now is I want to begin to codify some of what was already shared very succinctly, and I thank you, Evangelist Tanita, for that, because what I want us to see in the New Testament, in Acts, and I want Evangelist Tanita to go there, if she would.
Okay.
Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And the reason why I want her to go there is most of us have been in the Lord for longer than a day, if you will.
Amen.
Eventually begin to hear about how over and over and over, which is nothing wrong with repetitiveness, but over and over and over we hear. We've heard messages. We've heard prophetic words. We've heard all these types of manners in which an individual can receive a message or a word or a timely impression from God pertaining to David and how he was a man after God's own heart. And most of us, if we hadn't looked it up, would think that that is the end of what that passage says, not really knowing or understanding the effect of the cause and the cause of the effect. So we're not only going to bring an understanding to the cause, but to the effect as well, so that we understand what caused God to say that about David when we know David's life was not sinless. What caused it? So in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, we're going to see how that relates to our worship, how that causes God to begin to look at us from a different set of circumstances, like He did with David. So, Evangelist Sunita, if you could go ahead and read that, we will dive right in.
Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and I'm reading the New King James Version, and it says, mm-hmm. And when He had removed him, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.
There it is. There it is. God looked past all of the sin that He knew that David was going to commit. He looked past it all. Killing a man in order to have his wife, and impregnating her. That's just one of the many charges against David. God looked past all of that. A census, when he knew that that would cause him to be puffed up, he wanted to see how many people were under his kingdom. We're still talking about David. But God looked past all of that. Because God saw within this young lad the runt, if you will, the last child of Jesse, who wasn't even given the opportunity to be at the table when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons. He was so well thought of that he was on the backside of a mountain somewhere protecting the sheep from bears and lions with a slingshot. God saw all of that. Now, I know and I'm sensing in the spirit that there are some that are crucifying themselves. There's only one worth being crucified. And this is important to free us up in our worship. There's only one worthy to be crucified. And that's Jesus.
Amen.
So we need to refuse when the devil comes a-calling to try to get us to begin to condemn ourselves. We need to stop him in his tracks and make sure that he understands that the crucifixion of the cross covered that. But in order for us to do that with the adversary, we've got to believe it for ourselves. We have to come to a place spiritually before we ever get there physically. I'm going to say that again, because some of us think that because we haven't physically gotten there, we don't deserve the right to apply the blood to our situation. Mm-hmm. If we don't apply the blood to our situation, we will never leave the brazen altar. I'm going to say that again. Because that's where the blood is shed. And it's shed so that we can apply it. It's not shed so that we can sin more. I want to make sure that's abundantly clear to us all. The blood of Jesus was never shed so that we can continue to sin. It was shed so that we could apply it, so that we could enter into the Holy of Holies. God saw the desire of David, different from his son Solomon. He saw a desire to have a relationship with an almighty creator. That's what he saw. He saw a young man that said, if I can only be a doorkeeper in your house.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't ask for wisdom. He didn't ask for abundance. He asked for presence.
Yeah.
He asked for an opportunity to be in the presence of God for eternity. Now, keep this in mind, and I know we've said it before. David asked, unbeknownst to him, he asked for the linen garment. That's why he received three anointings. He received an anointing, and most of you know this. He received an anointing of a king. He received an anointing of a priest. And he received an anointing of a prophet. But I promise you, out of those three, the most precious of those anointing to David was the one of a priest. Because back then, the priest had the honor of being the only one to go into the Holy of Holies. The only one to be in the presence of Yah. The only one to see the mercy seat and see the glory of God. The only one. So when we think about the story of David and the cliche that is famous, biblically speaking, when we think about that, when we hear it, David's a man after God's own heart. David's a man after God's own heart. David is a man after God's own heart. Let's make sure that we not only talk about the effects, but we also focus on the cause, because it will affect us. Focusing on David's cause that got him into the Holy of Holies in worship will affect me. It will affect you. David went into the Holy of Holies, but he didn't wear the robe of the ephod. The robe of the ephod, out of those three anointings that he received, was the anointing of the prophet. The prophet and the prophetic anointing has that because it's ministering to the people. David forgave all of that. He forsook all of that in order to have the presence. Out of the three, he picked what was the most important to Yah. The most important to Yah was for those priests to come before him, because that was the enactment of Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden, of the cool of the evening in the garden. That was the replica, the representation of that. Now, there's another scripture that I'm feeling led to go to now. And I want Evangelist Anita to get this particular passage of scripture.
Okay.
And what I'm realizing in this is that we have to understand and know why Yah does the things that he does for us and with us. We have to know, we have to understand these things. Now, I probably went to this scripture once before, but I'm feeling we have to go right back again before we go into the meat of what I'm sensing that the Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us in this broadcast. And that is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 is the one where we have to go back again and share this. And for those of you that are taking notes, also prepare yourself for Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 with the focus on verse 13. That again is Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 with the main focus on verse 13. But we're going to go back and we're going to pick up Lamentations, and then we're going to go into Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through verse 13 with a focus on verse 13. Okay? So Evangelist Cindy is going to read Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, and then we're going to go from there into Proverbs. Okay? All right. If you have it, then you can go ahead and read.
Yes. Okay. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. There are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It says they are
now,
new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. And it's talking about what? It's talking about
mercies,
new mercies.
Yes.
It's talking about the new mercies. Okay? And if you can read verse 22 with verse 23, that would be good.
Okay. Verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Okay. And that just keeps everything in the context so that whenever you run into a pronoun out there, find out what that proper noun is. Because a pronoun can't be used in the beginning of a sentence and a thought because you lose the understanding of who or what is being discussed. Okay? Now, back in verse 22 and verse 23, we have the understanding here, and most of you have heard this passage of Scripture or a quotation of this passage of Scripture pertaining to new mercies being new, laid up every morning.
Mm-hmm.
What we in the body of Christ are not getting Hebraically is what I pray that you are beginning to understand, and that is God is not concerned at all about our stuff and about us getting our stuff. He's not concerned about that. God's concerned about us fulfilling what is necessary in the outer court so that we, like the high priest on Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, can enter into relationship with him. Whereas Yom Kippur was one day out of the year. What this is saying, even though it's in the Old Testament, it's preparing us for the New Testament experience. Okay, or what we like to call the Renewed Testament experience. Because remember, the Renewed Testament experience is what Adam and Eve had every day. So every day they had Yom Kippur. Every day they entered into the Holy of Holies with Yah. Every day they were in the presence with Yah. Every day, if you will, their garments, although we know, you know, that they were without clothes naturally,
mm-hmm.
but spiritually they were clothed by the Ruach, by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is a symbolic understanding from a Levitical standpoint of being clothed with the linen garments that were white and pure. So every day that God lays up new mercies, he's saying to you, he's saying to me, he's saying, I want you to come to the Holy of Holies. Let that be your first and only desire. Everything else will be taken care of. That's where the trust comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to spend time with me. When your soul and your spirit join themselves and you awake, the very first thing that Yah wants you to do is to spend time with him. Before you plan your day, before you figure out what you need to do or not do or what you can or can't do, he wants you to spend time with him. He wants you to steal away from everything and everyone else and give him a tithe of worship. He's looking for a tithe of worship. There's a 24-hour day. And Yah says, tithe my worship for that 24-hour day. Get before me.
Don't worry about this, that, or the other. It's important to have a plan, but make sure you understand that that A plan is not the A plan. It's the B plan, because when I step in, I will provide for you the A plan. An example and a test to let you know whether or not your B plan is really your A plan and you're just confused and deceived is when the Sabbath comes, is it a delight? Are you happy to see it? Or are you saying, man, I can't do this now and I can't do that now and I can't? If that is you, then your B plan has become your A plan. If that is you, you have placed the wrong garments on, and you will never have that intimate worship that Yah has mandated every morning. It says it right here. Every morning he lays it up. But if you know that he's talking about the mercy seat, then you also know he's talking about intimacy. So with that, we're going to transition and go to Proverbs chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And we're going to read verse 11 through verse 13. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read verse 11 through verse 13. Now keep in mind, we're still talking about the outer court and the inner court. The new mercies, they're in the Holy of Holies in the inner court. But you and I consciously have to prepare ourselves and do the things we need to do daily.
Mm-hmm.
Daily. Not weekly, but daily. Especially as a pastor, a minister, a rabbi, it is very easy, if we're not careful, to get mm-hmm. caught up in week to week. And not day to day. Daily, look for his mercies. Daily, look to make sure you're giving the proper sacrifice in the brazen altar. And when he tells you that he's finished, then you have to look. And that looking is the laver. The laver is when you look and you wash yourself. Look. Looking is the labor. They connect. They go together. I don't just have the sacrifice and then hightail it to the tent of meeting, to the inner court. No. Mm-hmm. I have to look. I have to, and what I'm looking, I'm also waiting. I'm looking and waiting for the instructions from the Holy Spirit to move to the next furniture piece inside of me. Because all of this is talking about me, and it's all pertaining to me, and it's all residing in me, and I have to allow it to be. I have to allow it to be. So if you can go ahead and read that, then we'll try to attempt to get a foundation before we close for the day.
Okay. All right. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Again, the New King James Version. And it reads, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who lead the path of uprightness, to walk in the way of darkness.
For those who leave the path of righteousness. That path of righteousness is from the outer court going into the inner court. That darkness, when you research it, and we will pick this up next week, but when you research it, one of the things that we're going to connect is the fact that that path of darkness is found in the inner court. Oftentimes when we think of darkness and evil, that it's talking about just totally going outside the tabernacle. No, 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 no. And next week we will break it down for you.
Wow. Wow.
So, Minister Tanita, if you can give them some information to know how to reach us and how to get in touch with us, we will pick this up next week.
Amen. I'm like, we're out of time already. Woo, praise God. So make sure you attend next week. And thank you again, Rabbi, for another wonderful show. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to TJONESBTS@gmail.com. Of course, the ministry is called Beth Hashem Ministry, and we have two websites in which you can find out information. And the first one is www.bethasham.org, and that's www.bethashem.org. We have a Facebook page, and that is also www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, if you would please email us at bethashem@yahoo.com for directions. We also, for those that desire to have a deeper understanding of Hebraic with the New Testament believer, we have Zuhl College. And if you desire to start classes, please email us at office@bethasham.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the spirit of excitement that is happening within the body. Father, we thank you that you're teaching us that as truth connect with us and we connect with truth, then the supernatural has to happen. The manifestation of your power, of your might, of your purpose in us has to come forth. So, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, I say to those to whom this message has resonated and hit a core part of their being, come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Father, we thank you for you, and we thank you for what you are doing and what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives. In Yahushua's name, Shalom, Shalom.